You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Matthew chapter number 22, and all the guys over there, yeah, there's some empty seats right here. Would you guys like to come out? Come out and help me. Help me. I need you guys to say amen. I need you guys' voices out here. Brother Reimers, Brother Simmons, Pastor Everton, happy birthday. Pastor Stroud, would you help me? Would you do me a favor and come out here? Just because I need you and I need your amens, I need your help. And I love all these men very much. They're the best, and I appreciate all of them. And it's been a good conference so far, and I appreciate the spirit of our conference. I appreciate all you teenagers and all the different groups. I know that it was a lot of work, a lot of effort, the fundraising and everything that takes place into going towards the conference. And so I thank you very much for everything that you've done, all the effort that you put to be here. And I hope that it's a help and just for a couple minutes. And I promise that we'll be on time. We'll get ourselves a little bit of a break before the session. And so if you can please just stay in the auditorium. We'll be done in just a minute. Don't worry. I'm not long-winded. I do like to talk, but I'm not super long-winded when it comes to preaching. But I hope it's going to be a help this morning. And to be honest, the youth conference and the reason why I get so excited about youth conference, and I have such a great time at youth conference, to be honest, is it bad to say that it's actually pretty selfish. Yeah. And I need youth conference for me, and here's really the reason. See, when I grew up here, and I it's very true that Pastor, you introduced my parents many years ago, not that many years ago, but several years ago, and they were married back in the late 80s. And then I was born in the early 90s. Yeah. And so if you want to know my age, there you go, you can figure it out, do some math. But I grew up here at this youth conference, and really my first youth conference is actually in the old building, and then we had a split youth conference one year. We did one where the junior high was in the chat with the Golden State Baptist College Chapel, and we did some of that things, but I remember many important decisions that I made at this youth conference. But the truth of the matter is that now that I get to work on staff here, and I was married here, and now I'm raising my kids here. I have three wonderful children. Juliet is 5 years old. And Joel is 4 years old, and my youngest daughter, Jennifer, is 2 years old. And really, I'm very reminded, oftentimes, as Juliet just graduated kindergarten this past year. See, when I was in kindergarten, I had a teacher's assistant. And that teacher's assistant, as I was in kindergarten, that teacher's assistant was a senior in high school. That senior in high school eventually became my youth pastor. And my youth pastor, he was the only youth pastor I ever knew from my seventh grade all the way through my senior year of high school. And he continued to be youth pastor many years after that. And really, we even got closer after I graduated from the youth group. And it's still a good idea to stay close to your youth workers and close to your chaperones, even though you may not be in the youth group. Hey, trust me, they're pulling for you. And they want to see you succeed, and they want the best for your life. Stay close to them. I remember every time I had a free hour here at Golden State, I would go out to coffee with Pastor, your son, now Pastor Tim Treiber. And he was my youth pastor. And so as a kindergartner, I had no idea that eventually that senior in high school would be my youth pastor. Amen. I'm reminded that probably my daughter, who just graduated kindergarten, her youth pastor is in this room. And you probably don't even know who you are. You probably can't see it for yourself. You don't know that that might happen, but God's going to use you. And so I'm being a little bit selfish here this morning because I want you to succeed, because guess what? You are going to be the leaders for my children. You're going to be the youth pastors for my children. You're going to be the chaperones for my children at a youth conference or a youth camp. And you're going to be their leadership. And you're going to guide them into their next area of life. And so this youth conference is for me, it's for you, and it's for the next generation. You probably don't see it, you probably can't picture it, you probably have no idea how God's going to use you, but trust me and take it from me, God can use you, and God can do something great in your life. You probably don't think that you have any abilities or any talents, you probably can't think that I can't do what these men of God can do. I can't do what Pastor Treiber does. But Pastor Treiber is just willing to be used of God, and God does something great through him. Amen. And so this youth conference, my prayer, my hope, that it touches your life, so perhaps you can make a decision here that may affect my children
That's
in years
right.
to come.
Amen.
Wow.
It may do something down the road that you have no idea what's going to happen.
Amen.
And I pray as the decisions that I made here at this youth conference with my youth pastor, you can make the same decisions with your youth pastor to change the next generation. Matthew chapter number 22. And this passage of scripture is fairly well known. You have here the religious crowd of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the lawyers. They go to Jesus and they try to ask him questions. And they ask him these questions, and they were not questions from a curious heart or a pure heart or a righteous heart. They were questions to try to tempt him, to try to trip him, to try to get him to fail or to falter so that they could accuse him, so that they could blame him. And they ask these questions, and throughout the chapter, and Jesus Christ answers them all perfectly. Amen. He answers them all without mistake. And by the way, God makes no mistakes. God does not have an oops moment. And Christ answered all these questions perfectly, and he gives them the doctrine. And by the way, they were the religious crowd. They should have known the right answers, and I guarantee you that they had studied the scriptures, and they should have known. And so they ask these questions. And Jesus basically says at the end of this chapter, he asked them a question. He says, I gave you all of these answers. We've answered the different things that you have. And I know that you were not asking them out of a pure heart. And he tells them here. And finally, he says, even if you don't get all of that, even if you didn't pay attention to the answers I just gave you, pay attention to this. If you don't listen to anything else that I've told you, listen to this final question. And the question is something that still rings true even to this day. And the question I ask each of us this morning, as it still affects all of our lives every single day and multiple times throughout the day. This question that Jesus asked them, it wraps everything up and it determines our different choices in life and the different things that we have going through life. And I guarantee you, if you answer this question honestly and you try to base your decisions and you base your actions upon this question, it will change your life. Matthew chapter number 22, we begin reading in verse number 41. The Bible says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. You see, they answered him so quickly. They had the answer on the tip of their tongue. They were the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they knew the answers, and they had heard the stories, and they had studied the scripture, and they probably had massive portions of scripture memorized, and they knew the right things to say, and so they answered him so fast, he's the son of David. But you see, they were thinking earthly when they should have been thinking heavenly. You see here in the very next, they said the son of David in verse number 43, and he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, David's Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And if David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And the Bible says in verse number 46, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Jesus kind of had a mic drop moment. He asked this question to them, and they tried to answer him, and they answered him in an earthly manner. But after this time, and after this, there were no more questions asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The only questions from this point on until the death and the eventual resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and ascension into heaven, it were the only further questions were from his own disciples. They couldn't ask any more questions. It was a question to end all questions. It was something that would end all and would answer all their questions. The question is, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? And I ask each of us this morning, what think ye of Christ? Ponder it for a moment in your own life. What do I think of Christ? What do I think about Christ? What does Christ mean to me? When I think about Christ, what does it mean to me? And I speak to the great youth conference here of North Valley Baptist Church, and you have heard the stories, and you in Sunday school, many of you in a very, very good Christian family, and you may think of the different answers as you've heard the stories and you've memorized scripture and you know the right words to say, and you think, I know about Christ. I know Christ. You could think perhaps historically, or you could think about different facts of Jesus' life. You think, what do I think about Christ? Well, I think about that he was born of a virgin. I think about that he lived a perfect and sinless life. He performed many miracles and many wondrous works. You can think about the fact that he died a vicarious death and he paid the penalty for our sin. But he rose up from the grave and he defeated death, and he rose up from the grave and he on the third day and he eventually ascended into heaven, and he sits upon the right hand of the Father, and he prepares a mansion for me and he prepares a mansion for you. And all of those facts would be true. Historically speaking, all of those are truthfully, those are true facts. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. You could even think, but what think you of Christ? What do I think of Christ? Well, you could think about maybe some historical facts. You could think about perhaps some of his characteristics. You could think about Christ's power and Christ's ability and Christ's movement even in our own life and on this world. Or you could think about Christ's love. That's very popular these days. Everybody loves to talk about the love of Christ. There's even a new thing that calls it, he gets us. Have you all seen that? There's the commercial from the Super Bowl that he gets us. And they show pictures of lives that are not of the Word of God, and lives of people living contrary to the Bible and to the Scripture. And they say, he gets us. They say, he understands us. Let me tell you this, Christ does not get your sin. Christ does not understand your sin. He knows you, and he knows where you're coming from, and he knows of your sin, but he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. It's not something where the love of Christ gives us a free hall pass to do whatever we want, and we go through life, and we live through life, and we say, but he gets us. Christ still loves me even though I'm in sin. Christ still cares for me even though I don't live according to the Bible. Let me tell you this, Christ does love you, but it doesn't give you a free pass to do whatever you want. It doesn't give us a free ability to get out of, we just use salvation as a get out of jail free card instead of something where the love of Christ constrains us and draws us closer to him so that we can get closer to him and we can know more about Christ. Amen. You think about the love of Christ. Amen. Perhaps you could even think about maybe even his lineage, that Christ is the Son of God. And that's what he's talking about here. Whose son is he? And again, they answer him earthly, in an earthly manner instead of a spiritual manner. They say the son of David. And you could think about that, and that again is a truthful fact. But that's not what he's getting at. And that's not the purpose of the question. The purpose of the question, and I ask it again to us, think about it for your own life. And by the way, this question is for your life. It's not what your neighbor thinks about Christ. It's not what your daddy thinks about Christ. It's not what your mommy thinks about Christ. It's not what your youth pastor thinks about Christ. It's not what your church thinks about Christ. It's not what your neighbor thinks about Christ or your friend, what they think about Christ. What do you think of Christ? What does Christ mean to your life? It's a personal question. It's for us. What think ye of Christ? And the question still is before mankind today, and it must be answered. To refuse to answer the question is to reject Christ. What think ye of Christ? The Bible says in all these different things that Christ does love us, and how we think about all the different things, but what think ye of Christ? We could think about all of those things, and all of those things would be true, but you see, the love of Christ or what we think about Christ is not answered by our spoken word. It's not answered by what we say. You see, again, that we are in a religious environment and we are with a spiritual crowd. And in this crowd, I could guarantee you that the vast majority of you would know the right things to say. You know the right answers, but it's not by spoken word. What you really think of Christ is always answered by your actions. It's always told by your actions. You see here that the religious crowd, they knew the right words to say too. Look, if you would, in verse number 16, and they sent out to him, this is when they're asking the questions to Jesus, and they sent out to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, They even called Jesus our Lord. They called him Master. They said it again later on in the chapter with the second question in verse number 24, saying, Master. And again in verse number 36, saying, Master. And they said, You are the Master. You know, you're the Lord of all. But their actions spoke otherwise. Sometimes, even in our own life, and even if we're raised in a good Christian family, we are masters of disguise. We are professional actors. Some of us should be working in Hollywood. Some of us know all the right things to say. We know the right words to use. We even know how to dress on Sunday. We know how to get our parents off our back. Perhaps after you go through this week and you go home and your parents ask about how the week was, and you know exactly what to tell them to kind of put them off to the side. You know what to say. And you know the right words to use. And you know what to say to your youth leader, and you know what to say. I don't think that you are dumb. I promise you, you are one of the smartest generations to ever live, if not the smartest. You know what to say. You know all the right answers. You ask a question in Sunday school or even in this room this morning, you would know the answer. Great knowledge, head knowledge here. But the same was true for this religious crowd. They had great head knowledge, but no heart knowledge. They knew of Christ, but they didn't know Christ. They knew of Christ, but their actions spoke otherwise. They said, You are not the Christ, even though they knew all of the right answers. And the same thing is true for some of us today. I ask the question, What think ye of Christ? And you know what to say. You know the right answer. You know how to act. You know how to dress. You know what to do. But what do you truly think about Christ? What you really think about Christ is always proved by your actions. Are your actions those where you would consider and people would be able to tell that your actions speak volumes about what you truly think of Christ? Do you think so little of Christ that you don't even attend church faithfully? You say, I know he's the Son of all, or the Son of God. I know he's the Lord of all. And I know that he's the greatest and he's the most magnificent, but I really don't even need to be at church. Or perhaps you think so little of Christ that you have these coworkers at work and they don't even know that you go to church. Do you think so little of Christ that you around your friends and they go to somewhere where you know you shouldn't go, and instead you don't stand up, and instead you just cave and you just go ahead with the flow and you give in? Do you think so little of Christ? Do you think so little of Christ when you have that device in your hand? When you log into your ghost account, do you think so little of Christ? Do you think so little of Christ? Right. To fall into continual sin? Right. Right. To keep on day after day, and you know the right words, and you know what to say. Do you think so little of Christ? Right. What do you think of Christ? Amen. What think ye of Christ? What we think about Christ is proved by what we do at school. Is proved by how we treat our parents. Is proved by how we treat our pastor. It's displayed by our attendance to the house of God. The question this morning is simple. What think ye of Christ? See, this is not a one-time question. The question is posed every day at every decision of the day. When the decision to sin comes, or the opportunity to sin comes in your life, and sadly, even though we set boundaries and we set barriers and we try our best, there will be opportunities to sin.
That's right.
There will be temptations to sin. There will be that opportunity to do wrong. And in that moment, ask yourself, what do I think of Christ? Either Christ is the Almighty, the Everlasting, the Enduring, the Limitless, the Powerful, the Omniscient, the Omnipotent, Almighty God, the Perfect God, either He's the Lord of all, or he's the Lord of none. Either we are going to treat him like he is the Lord of our life, or we're going to treat him like he doesn't matter. What think ye of Christ? What do I think of Christ? Ask yourself, what do I think about Christ? How do I act, and my actions prove by what I truly think of Christ? Again, they were the religious crowd. They should have known the right answers, and I guarantee you they did. They knew the scripture, and they knew the things to say. But instead, proved by their actions, they did not think anything of Christ. They thought he didn't even matter. They called him Master. They called him Lord. And still their actions prove that they did not even consider Christ. What think ye of Christ? Is Christ a sideshow? Is Christ just a side hustle? Is Christ meaningful in your life?
Amen.
And again, it's a question that you ask yourself and you can ponder. And it's not just a one-time decision that today Christ matters in my life. And today Christ is important in my life. But tomorrow, he doesn't really matter. Or tomorrow when that next opportunity comes and I'm around my other friends. What do I think of Christ then? What think ye of Christ? The next time you're tempted, the next time you are given the opportunity to sin, the next time you are at your place of business, the next time you're at church, the next time you're in your house, ask yourself the question, what do I think of Christ? Is he the Lord of all? Or is he the Lord of none? Does he matter? Or does he not matter? Is he important in my life? Do I want to prove by my actions that I love Christ, that I want to be used of him, that I want to do something great for him? Do I want to do something amazing for Christ? And I know that God can't, I don't have anything to offer, but still I want to be available to be used. For me personally, in my personal testimony, and this is just how it happens for me, but I was never personally called to preach. I was never even personally called to be in ministry full time. For me in my life, I literally just volunteered every step of the way. I was just available and willing to be used every step of the way from an early age, and I just kept on volunteering, and I kept on volunteering, and I kept on being available, and I kept on being willing, and eventually God, and it's just incredible that God, what God has been able to do, I literally have nothing to offer, and I literally have nothing to give, and still God decides to use me in whatever capacity that may be. And there are people, and it's so true that God does call people, and God does, and I know for my life right now that I am in the perfect will of God. But the way that it worked for me is that I was never called full-time into the ministry. I was never called, and I just knew that that was what God wanted me to do. There was a time in my life where I was working a security job, and I literally was just sitting there in front of my computer staring at this screen, and I thought, this doesn't even matter. All of this stuff that I'm doing right now, it doesn't even matter. I was living my life. I was a bus captain in college, and I was living my life, and everything I wanted to do was for the weekend. I lived my life for the weekend so that I could go and so that I could visit my bus kids and so that I could do more things for them, so I could reach more people, so I could knock more doors, so I could get more people in God's house. And I thought, that's what I really want to do.
Amen.
That's what really matters. That's what brings me fulfillment. That's what brings me joy. That's what brings me to close to God. And that's what I feel like God would like me to do. And so I just kept
Amen.
Volunteering.
Amen.
And God has been able to open so many doors.
Amen.
About, let me see, if I can do math. What, 2017? 7 years ago this August, I got married. August 4th, 2017, to my lovely wife, Miss Cherith. And she is the most incredible lady ever. And I hope that one day you get to experience what I experienced. And I came to this altar pure with my wife when we got married, and our my very first kiss here on the altar of in a church, and get to married in a church and married a good Christian person in a church. And all of these are good things. And I hope you get to experience that one day. You know, I love my wife very much. I love her so much. But you know, my love, if I just were to say every day, I love you. Man, it's just words. If I were just to say, babe, I care about you so much, it's just words. babe, I want to see you succeed. I want to see you do great things, and I want your businesses to succeed. And she tutors piano and violin and sign language, a very talented lady. I'm married way out of my league, by the way. Incredible, and she's just amazing. And but I want to do all those things. But you know what? If I just were to say words, they're just words. Are you just saying words? Are you saying the right things? You say, I think much of Christ. When I think about Christ, I think so much of Christ. I think he's just amazing and he's the Lord of my life. But is he really? Are they just words? Are you just saying words? In every moment of every day, we make a decision and we answer the question what we truly think of Christ. You see, for my wife and I, we've gone through a lot of different things, and we've had a great time together, and there are a lot of things that I want to do for her. I think about one specific instance. We were newly married, and we were in our small one-bedroom apartment over here in Santa Clara, and a little tiny 660-square-feet apartment, barely enough room for our piano that we needed to have in there for her business. And so, but we had a great time in there, and there was one specific instance I remember, and just a funny story, but she was sick, and she had this cough, and she just could not get rid of it. She could not shake it. And I wanted to be the loving husband. I wanted to do the right thing, and I wanted to be there for her, and I wanted to care for her, and I was trying to do all the right things. We'd probably been married about 6, maybe 7 months or so. And before we were married, I often heard people say, you know, Luke, there's going to be some times where you're just going to have to say, I'm sorry. And they're like, you're just going to have to say, I'm sorry. You're going to have to be ready for it. You're going to have to be prepared for it. And I thought to myself, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I could do that. I could say I'm sorry. You know, obviously I can admit my faults and I can admit my failures. I could say that I'm sorry. And there was this time where she was sick and she could not shake this cough and she had this sore throat, and I was trying to be the loving husband. I was trying to do the right thing and I was trying to care for her, and I made her a tea and I just told her to rest, and I was doing the dishes. By the way, I still do the dishes nearly every day, by the way. And that's one thing. I can't do much. Trust me, I cannot do much. I can do the dishes, all right? I can do those. That's what I can do, and trust me, she does everything else that actually requires skill, okay? And so that's basically my job. And so, but I wanted to do the right thing, so I wanted to care for her, I wanted to prove my love to her, I wanted to just shake this cold. And I had given her the tea, and we were sitting on the couch, and her throat just hurt. And me being a man, I wanted to fix the problem, and I wanted to solve it, and I wanted to come up with a solution. Even sometimes it's better not to come up with a solution, just to go through it. And chaperones, help me out here. You know what I'm talking about. And I wanted to do the right thing, and I wanted to care for her. And I was trying to do the right thing, and she had this cold. And so I'm trying to think of a solution. How do I fix this? How do I make this better? I hate seeing her like this. And I said, babe, maybe if you just didn't talk as much. That is a true story. I literally said, word for word, babe, what if you don't talk as much? And I can tell you this, she was not impressed. She did not, that did not make her feel better, okay? It did not help. It did not at all. And so all of a sudden, I saw her facial expression, and I thought to myself, I'm doing the right thing. I'm coming up with solutions. I'm trying to solve the problem here. There's a problem. I want to fix it. This is a viable solution. This is a real solution to the problem. Maybe you just don't talk as much. But she was not impressed. And I could tell that she was not impressed. And in that moment, I realized that I was not ready to say I'm sorry. Because I was right. And I was doing the right thing. And I was the one solving the issue here. I was the one doing all the work, and so, but I could tell she wanted, and her desire was for me to say, I'm sorry. And in that moment, I realized I was not ready to say those words because I knew that I was doing the right thing. And eventually, it did not take very long, as most times it does not take very long. It took a couple minutes for me to swallow my pride. It took me a few minutes to swallow it and to choke it down and say, babe, I'm sorry. Even though she knew that I was doing the right thing, and she knew that I was right. And I said, babe, I'm sorry. She waited a few more minutes just to make sure I was truly sorry, right? And then we started to talk again. It's been great. We've talked ever since, right? That was that's the one and only time I've said I'm sorry ever. And so, no, I'm joking. I've said I'm sorry almost every day since then. So, but since then, but you know what? I want to prove to my wife, I want to prove that I love her.
Amen.
And I want to prove to her through my actions how much I care for her.
That's good.
I want to prove what I think about her. I want her to know. If I just said words and said, I love you, I care for you, I want you to succeed, I think you're the greatest, those are all just words. They're all just words. But I tried my very best, and I fail so often, but I try to back it up with my actions. Here's the question this morning. What think ye of Christ? Ask yourself, what do I think of Christ? Have I been living my life and it's just words? I think much of Christ. I think he's the greatest. I think he's the most powerful. I think that he's the almighty. But my actions say otherwise. What I do says otherwise. When given that opportunity to sin, my actions say different. When I'm around my friends, my actions say different. I think so much of Christ, but your actions say different. Ask yourself this morning, what do I think of Christ? Like I said at the beginning of the message, the youth conference here is a little bit, for me, it's a little bit selfish. Because your decision in the room this morning will affect my children. I'm going to provide the very best that I can for them. I'm going to provide a spiritual atmosphere for them the best I can and the best that I know how, and to raise them in a good, godly home. But I guarantee you, the people in this room, you may not even know, but you will affect my children. You'll be their youth leaders. And you're going to be their Sunday school teachers. And you're going to be their school teachers. And you're going to be there to influence them and to try to help them to do right. And the decisions made here this week will even affect my own children.
Right.
So the question this morning is this. And you ask yourself every day, every moment of the day, are my actions truly saying what I think about Christ? I know I say that I think much of Christ, and I love Christ, and we throw that word out so much, and I love Christ, and I want to serve him, but are they just words? Are they just vain words, empty words? Like even the people that we found here in the religious crowd of the day, and they knew all the right answers, and they knew what to say, and they should have known that he was the Christ, and they called him Master. But it was all just vain words. They were all just empty. They wanted him to trip up. They wanted him to fail. They wanted him to fall. And they were all just empty words. The question this morning is, what think ye of Christ?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.